As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You only need two New Year's resolutions.
Eat more cheese. Be a menace. Never change, baby. Never change.
Morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, January 8th, 2024. I'm Jay Eskeith here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, that's Tass Mellis.
Today I'm Tass Menace. Never change, baby.
Next to him is the bearded one, Matasha Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey,
hey, yo! And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, make sure you subscribe, tell a friend about the show, comment away. And podcast listeners, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. It's Monday. We're all back here in the factory to share some NBA weekend winners and losers. I feel like we have a lot to get to, as we usually do on Monday. So let's jump right into our winners. TK, get us started. Who's your big winner of the NBA weekend?
Gotta be the Memphis Grizzlies. Okay. Getting a winner of the weekend. From me, two very quality wins for Memphis over the weekend. They beat the Lakers in LA on Friday, and then they beat the Suns yesterday in Phoenix with no Ja Morant. He was out with a shoulder injury that apparently happened at some point against the Lakers on Friday, but they don't really know when. Friday night, it was a smackdown. They ran the Lakers completely out of the gym, had LeBron saying, "We just suck right now." In postgame, Memphis hit a season-high 23 three-pointers in this game, 8 from Marcus Smart, 5 from Jaren Jackson Jr., 5 from Desmond Bane, a couple from Zaire Williams, who I think also caught 100 alley-oops in this game. Yeah. I don't know if he made a shot that wasn't either a three-pointer or an alley-oop. He was playing well in his hometown. On Sunday, the Grizzlies came back from down 11 in the fourth quarter to beat the Suns, who have some injuries, but they had their big three out on the court together with Kevin Durant returning to the lineup. Memphis held Phoenix to 18 points in the fourth quarter. Jaren Jackson Jr. again was great in this one. 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Desmond Bane went for 23, 5, and 5. And Marcus Smart, another good game. 25, 6, and 8. Went 4 for 13 from 3. It's the first time all season he's hit 4 or more threes in back-to-back games. Of course, he went 0 for, I think, 13 in the 3 games previous. But you have to be encouraged if you're a Grizzlies fan that Smart is at least on the hot side of his streak, because it has not been a great season thus far for Marcus Smart after the trade. But Memphis is doing all right. They were 6-19 during Ja Morant's suspension. They're 7-4 since, even though he didn't play in the win against the Suns on Sunday. That's a 36-21 pace over the final 57 games of the season, which would put them at 42-40 play-in tournament.
Probably.
But that means they have to stay completely healthy for the rest of the season, which obviously Ja isn't healthy right now, but they pulled off a win. It's a lot less intimidating to take one game without Ja Morant than 25 games, which I think is good. And then they have to keep playing pretty well because the defense is looking okay. They're hitting some threes. I think they did have a hot shooting weekend. Not what you'd necessarily expect from the Grizzlies, but they certainly look better and more energized since Ja has returned to the lineup.
It's a good pick.
It is. The Western Conference is just tough. Every single team that you would play in that conference, even the Spurs at 5-30, I don't care. We're talking about the Grizzlies here and them sitting in 13th right now, being a very tough team. And yeah, they got a little lucky on Friday night with all those threes coming down with Marcus Smart. This is the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA. And then they come in to the Lakers and Marcus Smart, who had missed, as you said, his last 16 consecutive three-pointers. He hits eight. What? Jaren Jackson Jr. with the five, Bane with the five. Yeah, so 23 total. I think it was the man, head coach Taylor Jenkins, that made this happen in the third quarter when he got pissed off that a call wasn't made. He jumped onto the court, and he hit Taurean Prince by accident, got into the way there. And so he got a technical foul, and he said that it kind of inspired his team. They kicked the Lakers' butt in that fourth quarter. It was a close game until the fourth quarter, and they won the fourth by 14. So they're playing hard. With, yep. Even without Ja, they go get another W.
Yeah, and if you're wondering how far back they are from a potential play-in game, 4.5 right now from the 10th-seeded Lakers, who did pick up a win over the weekend against the Clippers, a much-needed win to stop the bleeding there. But you got the Warriors, you know, falling apart here. You know, the Suns that they just beat, that's a team they are chasing. They're a little bit more ahead. And then the Jazz are playing great basketball, too, so they're within this mix, too. But, yeah, they're going to be fighting for this. They got a long road still ahead of them, but it sure helps with some of those teams above them not playing all that well and struggling and losing. So, yeah, the Grizzlies, with or without Ja right now, playing probably their best basketball. They just have the weirdest home and road split going right now. They're 3-13, the Memphis Grizzlies, at home in that barn that we, compare to a college-like atmosphere. 3-13, a very solid 10-10 on the road. I mean, you're going to take 500, especially missing Ja Morant for a bunch of those games. So maybe they get some of these wins at home going here. You're going to be right back in the mix.
If I were a Grizzlies fan, I would be saying that's a positive thing, that they've been so bad through the first half of the season, now that they should be trending upwards, getting their superstar back, perhaps some more parades in their city, though. That Taylor Jenkins thing was one of the funniest things I've seen in the NBA this entire season. The way he jumps out in front of Taurean Prince was funny, but then he gets so mad when he's arguing the call. Not a lot of ways for him to show his displeasure, so he unzipped his quarter zip as hard as he could. Oh. It doesn't go very far.
No, it's like
it goes down to the middle of your chest, but he left it gaping open for the rest of the game. He was hot under the collar, literally.
We've seen a bunch of NBA players over the years rip their jersey. Yeah. We got to see a coach go zip and then rip, right? Go Hulk mode. That would be cool.
Unzip and then rip. Yeah. I would love to see that.
So what were you going to say?
Well, I think he, along with a lot of other coaches, are just pissed that they have to wear quarter zips. What am I wearing?
They don't have to.
Well,
they don't have to.
Part of it's either a quarter zip or a full sweater. You can't wear a suit.
You could. Well, you can. It's not against the rules.
It's not illegal.
Somebody's going to go back. This guy looks great.
Well, like the other night, last week at some point, Garrett Temple, who is on the Raptors bench, he doesn't play a lot, but he was injured, and he's out there. He's in a full suit. And he's the one that looks like the coach, because you're right. Everybody else is in these zips and hoodies and stuff like that. But, who's going to be the first coach? Who has the balls to go back to the suit game? It'd be great. So, I mean, even if...
It has to happen. I totally agree.
It has to happen.
Yeah. I do think Taylor Jenkins literally came out onto the floor to bump somebody, or just to really get his team just up for this fourth quarter. That's what happened to wake him up. Yeah, why on earth else would he be on the floor? Like, he came out onto the floor.
He was pissed.
Yeah. He was pissed.
But it obviously worked there. So Grizzlies gets us started here. I like that. Tass, who do you have as a winner?
Well, the Knicks. New York Knicks. Because we talked about the first batch of All-Star votes coming in last week and how their fans weren't voting for their All-Stars. But this weekend, their All-Stars had two good games. And they even went into Philadelphia, and their fans were chanting, "Go New York! Go New York!" as they romped the Philadelphia 76ers. They did. And specifically, let's get to their All-Stars, because Jalen Brunson's going to be there. And what I like about this New York Knicks team, since they got OG Anunoby, the floor is open now for both Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle, because OG just stand in the corner, shoot some threes. Dante DiVincenzo, our new shooting guard, just shoot threes. And that's all he did against the Philadelphia 76ers. Only shot threes, hit four of them. But then after Miles McBride, their new backup point guard, hit a couple threes in the first quarter, it was the Jalen Brunson show in the second quarter. He looked different. I thought because the floor is all open, he was barreling to the rim, going through guys. Jalen Brunson, this shorter player, being able to do that, the pull-up three and then the fake pull-up three, and being able to get to his spots even along the baseline. It looked like Julius Randle shooting along the baseline. It looked like Dallas Jalen Brunson out there. He had 29 overall. He had 16 in that second quarter. They romped the Sixers in that first game. Absolutely romped. Josh Hart off the bench was a plus 46. How does that happen?
That's a big number.
It's huge. He double-digit rebounds for that guy, and Jalen Brunson and him joking about it after the game, the Villanova bros doing it there. But I thought, even though Julius Randle didn't have a good game there, he wasn't good. The next night, he had 39 against the Washington Wizards. Again, he's barreling into guys. He's just a big dude. And so now that there's space, he's showing that. 13 free throws, going extremely hard to the rim. And he's taken down his threes a little bit this year, although he's getting them up right now. Nearly half of his shots last year were threes. Now it's like a quarter of his shots.
Yeah. Much better balance for a guy like him.
Yeah, and there's room on the floor. Brunson had 33. Grimes is hitting his threes. Isaiah Hartenstein is playing awesome as a center, even though he doesn't shoot the threes. Tom Thibodeau doesn't have to play Taj Gibson, which is pretty cool.
He's gone. Yeah.
Yeah, releasing him. And the Mitchell Robinson thing you'd think was a problem because he's been injured. It hasn't been because Hartenstein's been awesome. They've won four since OG Anunoby came. He averaged 10 points this weekend. So it makes me think, I can't wait to see how much that contract is worth because he doesn't really have to score for this team at all. And they're only 2.5 games back of the Philadelphia 76ers. So they have found a perfect Thibodeau balance. So I'm really looking forward to if they could, there's an outside chance that they catch the Philadelphia 76ers, especially with Embiid being a little bumped, miss a game this weekend.
Yeah, we have a three-way tie right now, basically, for the fourth seed in terms of like hosting or first round series. The Magic, the Cavs, and the Knicks are all 21-15, and the Knicks have the longest win streak in the NBA right now at four straight games. Haven't lost, like you said, since OG came over, and it's clicking. And he has slotted in absolutely perfect to what they needed, a defensive-minded guy that you can put in the corner and he can still knock down the three and it opens things up. And, yeah, they're rolling. So
is he cool with it, though? I wonder if he's cool
with
it.
You keep bringing that up.
I want to know. I mean, because with the Raptors, it's always been, he wants to score more. He wants to shoot more. He wants the ball in his hands more. And in this case, it ain't going to be in his hands.
No.
But he's totally fine with it, and he's a great addition. As long as CAA says at the end of the season, all right, Knicks, pay up.
Yeah.
As long as they pay up, because the Brunson contract isn't huge. The Randle contract isn't huge. This contract they signed McBride to isn't huge. They don't pay their centers all a lot. So he could get paid a lot.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right, let's keep it going here. I would like to give Jason Tatum specifically, but the entire Celtics team a winner of the weekend. They played two games, Boston did. Friday night in Utah, took care of business. And then Saturday, a back-to-back situation, having to fly to Indiana, they did an incredible job at slowing down, you know, the red-hot Indiana Pacers, who were on a six-game win streak, who had just put up, I believe, 150 points against the Hawks, were scoring all these points. They held them to 101. Yes, in today's NBA, that is holding a team to very few points. Caitlin Cooper, who is one of the probably brightest minds on NBA Twitter, on NBA X, she shared an awesome clip illustrating how special this Celtics defense is. It's breaking down a specific play where Drew Holiday plays center in like the 2-3 zone that they start in, and he's just responsible for all the cutters. Like he's like a traffic cop, like directing all the guys out there, like where to go, who's cutting, here we go. Or like a quarterback just seeing everything. And then they morph into like this man-on-man defense when the ball crosses the free throw line. It's awesome. They're just elite defensively. I know they're second in the league behind the Wolves. I don't think it's going to be all that long until they jump them with the way they're playing. Over the last month, I believe they are the best defense. Boston is. But to hold the Pacers to a season-low 101 points, to out-rebound them 70-42 in a game where your center played 6 minutes, like Porzingis left this game with like an eye laceration, and they still kicked ass. They're just like, they're unbelievable right now. They rank second in the league in offense and defense, number one in net rating. And you're getting Tatum in this game, 38 points, 13 boards, 6 assists. He shot 8 of 14 from deep. That's sort of been the one thing that's like been his Achilles heel, right? The three-point shooting, it comes and goes. It had not been here for most of the season. But he caught fire, the pull-up was money. And this guy, it's wild that he's 5th or 6th in most MVP rankings. He's on the best team. He's the best player on the best team. And I'm not saying he should be much, much higher because that's just like the guys that we have in this league are that good. But he's just scoring, like he's 30 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, it feels like every game now. And the Celtics, man, he needs to like not worry about a regular season MVP. That guy needs to go get a finals MVP because this team is going to be in the mix. The way they're playing right now, that defense is scary when they're locked in.
Yeah, exactly. But the Celtics, to me, are kind of a prove it in the playoffs team. Because at this point, great article up on The Athletic explaining, like, literally Jason Tatum has been so good for so long that he doesn't get a lot of props.
Sure.
Because he's almost on too good of a team, and his numbers have been this good for kind of the entirety of his career. I agree with you, the three-point shooting, it's so up and down. Mm-hmm. And the reason Tatum's percentages are bad is because that guy takes so many tough shots where he just settles for shots. But when he's rolling, he's really good. And the Celtics, obviously, with only 7 losses so far this season, the only team that still has single-digit losses. Yeah, they're the best. And I saw, I think it was Michael D. Sykes on Twitter, mentioning that Joe Mazzulla was the Drew Holiday for his West Virginia college team, being that middle guy in the zone and D'd it up. So he's probably like, I could be you, man. I could have been you. Didn't have the offense, though. But that makes sense. I was wondering why Luke Kornet was playing so much against the Pacers, because I saw him go to the free throw line and do the ice in my veins celebration for making a free throw in the third quarter.
Yes, that's right.
The corn man. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to do.
Yeah,
this guy's a human meme.
He is.
That's why they keep him around.
Good spirits, yeah.
Yeah, and they're totally invested. They're paying a lot in their top five. And so the question here as the trade deadline comes up, are they going to go get somebody for the bench, you know, to help out Al Horford? And Brad Stevens is saying that they may, but it's just they have invested so much in Kristaps Porzingis, Andrew Holiday. Those guys don't get the credit that Tatum and Jaylen Brown do, and even Derek White do. The All-Star voting is crazy when you think about it that way. All five Celtics are there on this ballot, but you know, those three that I just mentioned are far lower than Tatum and Brown. And Tatum is, I think he just got bigger and stronger for the playoffs, just to have the endurance to be able to go from now, when they look great, to be able to get great shots and to be able to bully guys in the postseason. When we'll see what happens, but this team, yeah, they should be really at the favorite spot. The way they do it every single game.
Let's do another round of winners of the NBA weekend. Who you got, TK?
Another round of a guy who's going to make the All-Star team this year, Paolo Banchero. 2 huge performances and 2 nice wins for the Magic over the weekend. He had the first triple-double of his career on Friday against the Nuggets. 32 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. He went 15 of 19 from the free throw line. Hit the game-winning free throws as well. We knew that. Been a little bit of a bugaboo for Paolo early in his career. Not a super high percentage free throw shooter, but knocking him down in a clutch situation. Love to see that. Followed that game up with 35 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, a block, and 4 of 7 from 3 against the Hawks on Sunday. This one went into overtime. Banchero scored 8 points in the overtime period. Hawks scored 5. These were both clutch wins for the Magic, both without Franz Wagner. It was Paolo out there. It was Cole Anthony out there trying to generate any kind of shots they could on the offensive end. And then they're closing these games with Chuma Okeke, Goga Batase, Caleb Houston, Mo Wagner, and Trevelyn Queen.
Yeah,
a literal who's who of NBA players. Career high 25 points and 7 threes for Caleb Houston against the Hawks yesterday. This has been impressive stuff from Banchero. In his last 5 games, he's averaging 33 a game with 9 rebounds, 6 assists, shooting 45 from the field and 42 from the three-point line. Like I said, career high, 43 against the Sacramento Kings. First triple-double against Denver. Orlando's currently tied for 4th place in the Eastern Conference right now. This guy, absolute lock as an all-star. I love watching him play.
He is fun to watch. He should be an all-star. I'm with you. I mean, he'll have to be selected, of course, by the coaches, but he should be there, especially with his team being so good. What I love about this stretch that he's on here, like, the Magic started on fire this year. Caught everybody by surprise. We're like, whoa, are they good? Nah, they'll fall back to earth, right? And then they started to, remember? They had like a 4-game losing streak. They started like, oh, okay, that was a great story for a little while. But then he sort of just went up a level, I think, and then has got them going again here. I know they had like a 3-game stretch there where they were on the West Coast trip. They're playing good teams, and they lost a couple. But man, he's like single-handedly, you know, pulling them to some of these victories here to keep them, again, in the 4 spot, in the playoff mix. And like, it doesn't feel like they're going to be a play-in team. Like, it's going to be a playoff team. Whether they're hosting or not, we'll see. But he's awesome. I'm with you. Trey's fun as hell to watch. And he's so young still.
He was phenomenal. But he got a lot of good help from his teammates, as you mentioned.
Houston's huge.
Mo Wagner with 19-11 that game because they have 18 centers, but they couldn't play. No Goga, no Wendell Carter. Having all the centers kind of paid off in that one. And you mentioned Caleb Houston, 7 threes, a career-high 25 points, Shout out to Mississauga. He's a Canadian,
that's
bro.
Right. He's a forgotten Canadian.
He
You're
is
right.
a forgotten Canadian.
Yes.
Yeah. So Saga's getting some rep.
Oh, great right. weekend for Saga. Absolutely. RJ Barrett was RJ money
Barrett.
Last night.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't know. There's too many Canadians in the league. There's so
you can't
many.
Keep track of them all.
And Jalen Suggs was essentially the starting point guard in this game because, you know, they're playing with different things. But I love Jalen Suggs' celebration. He's the only guy who celebrates like this with the tongue out, bends the back backwards, and then just flicks his arms like an inflatable. Nobody else does that. It's kind of like a Marc Gasol doing the
Conor McGregor.
Yeah. But he did it twice. And he went to the bench and he did it again. It's different because he bends his back all the way backwards. Jalen Suggs, yeah, obviously great defensively, but he was essentially the starting point guard because, yeah, Suggs, Fultz back, but he's coming off the bench, yep. And then they took Anthony Black out of the starting lineup as well. They got a lot of point guards. They got a lot of centers. So this team is just, it's just damn good.
Suggs better be on an all-defensive team this year. Like, in one, at least a second team. He should probably be on the first team. I know it always, like, takes a year or two for sometimes the voters to, like, catch on to how talented a defender is. He is awesome. Like, he gets, like, the toughest assignment of whatever the guard is, and he's done so many times this year where you check the box, you're like, oh, that all-star, that superstar, ooh, they had a quiet game. Yeah, he's a big reason why. He goes at it on that end. So great game from him. Great game from Paolo, like you said there, Trey, as a winner of the weekend. TK,
going to be tough, I think, for Suggs to make all-defense, just because there's a lot of good guards. Like you're mentioning, Jrue Holiday, he's definitely going to make it. Yeah. Derek White, he'll probably make it. Caruso, he'll make it. I mean, it's going
to
be tough.
That's what I said. Yeah. It does usually take another year for like sure. to sort of get the accolade. You know, he'll get votes this year. Maybe he cracks it, maybe he doesn't. But then I'm almost, I'll call my shot now. Jalen Suggs will be on the 2000, 24-25 all defensive team.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
I okay. also, one thing I also didn't like from Jalen Suggs, but it's mostly because I liked it from Trae Young. And this one, Trae drew Suggs' sixth foul in the fourth quarter. A savvy veteran move. Yeah. He's like, he's up on me. I'm going to angle into him. Foul called. And Trae Young just starts pointing at his head. That's going to be the new taunt. Too smart.
I'm too smart for you.
Too smart. You like when you're using savvy rather than strength, you could do that. Pump fake, you score on an up and under. Too smart.
Too smart. Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm.
It's going to catch on.
Yep, I like it.
Trey does that every single game. I mean, he's smart in the way he draws fouls. It's true.
He's infuriating to some as well, for sure. Who do you have for another winner?
I'm giving one to Victor Wembanyama because the San Antonio Spurs, they're sitting at 5-30. They are 15th in the Western Conference. They're dead last. So you'd think at this point, maybe they're dead. Maybe us sickos aren't going to have fun watching the Spurs the rest of the season. But Victor Wembanyama brings them back to life because even though he's on a minutes restriction, he came back in a game last week late in the game and just jumped off the bench and said, I'm not being called in because I'm at my minutes restriction, but came in and played. Popovich said he liked that after the game. He said, yeah, I like how he's showing. He wants to play hard. And then he goes up against Giannis Antetokounmpo and has a great game. He does it against stars. That's what he does. He went up against Kevin Durant, the guy that he followed as a kid growing up in this game earlier this season. And then this weekend, he had to go up against Jared Allen, who's been balling for the Cavs.
He's on fire. He should be a winner of the weekend.
He's been so, so good. And he went down to the wire with Jared Allen and the Cavs. The Spurs did lose, but he blocked Jared Allen one time. 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Guy's got 100 blocks in his first 35 games. First person to do that since Sean Bradley in 93. So he's blocking shots. But the thing is, it's going to come down to the wire for Rookie of the Year because he's been that good. Can he be Rookie of the Year when your team is that bad?
Usually.
Usually, yes.
Usually, yes. No problem. We'll give you Rookie of the Year. But it's going to be different this year for sure.
Because Chet
get ready
is
for the debate.
Chet is damn good.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why it's going to be a two-man contest. But I think this is going to be a two-man competition that's going to go down to the wire. Because right now, Wembanyama leads in points, rebounds, blocks, and steals. 19, 10, 3.3 blocks, and 1.2 steals. So he's leading rookies in all four of those. And he's making the Rookie of the Year race fun. And even though Holmgren's on a winning team, Wembanyama's going to get his he's going to get his flowers, and he's probably going to help win some games when this minutes restriction is just abolished. Get rid of it. Mm. It's no longer needed. Also, a winner of the weekend, even though they lost, and they are 5-30, which is just fun to say, a 5-30 team. he doesn't have to go to France this week, so he's a winner. The team that he's playing, the Cavs, they're going to play the Brooklyn Nets this week. They already got on a plane. They're already gone.
We got a Paris game this week.
Thursday. Yeah. I'm sure we'll be watching it on playback. A nice afternoon,
it's an afternoon game.
Yep. Yeah, I like that. Okay. I love an afternoon game.
It's Nets who?
Cavs.
They're sending Jared Allen over.
Yeah.
Good thing he's balling right now. The guy's averaging like 21 and 16 over his last
the Nets are
couple
not.
Games. No, the Nets are not. Though they just they had an bad. Entertaining game against the Blazers. So
yeah, they're in that fourth place tie with everybody at 21 and 15. Even though they don't get the accolades, I think Donovan Mitchell's going to try and go off in France. He's going to try and drop a 40 spot. That could happen.
So you're a little surprised though that the Spurs and Wemby not being sent for the Paris game.
No, but I'm happy for him. he gets to chill. I mean, is obviously his ankle's got some problems. It is a little surprising.
Does it?
His ankles are fine. But he doesn't have to do everything for his family and get together with his family and all that. Everybody's been talking about him literally for 9 months since he was drafted, and it's been tiring. I'll let the guy chill. Does he have to get on a plane and go to France? Nah.
All right.
He's doing great. I mean, those numbers that he leads in points, rebounds, blocks, and steals, but he could be playing a lot more minutes.
Yeah.
It's not like he's just putting them in just to fill up the box score because he's playing 40 minutes. He's not even playing 30 minutes a game.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome that Chet Holmgren is playing the way he is because we have a Rookie of the Year race. Because imagine Chet never gets injured and plays last year and obviously then isn't in consideration for a Rookie of the Year this year. I mean, this would be a wrap. Like, it would be. I mean, it would have been over, like, within the first week. Okay, Wemby's winning Rookie of the Year, but it's going to be a race. There's going to be a lot of debates. There's going to be, the counter is going to be, well, yeah, put Chet on the Spurs right now, and he probably has the exact same amount of numbers that Wemby does because he'd have more of a role. Like, he's not asked to do as much. Then the counter to that is, well, yeah, he's not being asked to do as much, so Wemby has to do more. That's what we're going to hear here for a couple months. But, yeah, it's more entertaining than just being over in the first month. ROI, baby. Can't wait to break it all down.
You don't think we would be having a big debate about Victor Wembanyama versus Jaime Jaquez?
No.
I mean, we would try to.
It would be a lesser version of what's going on now. Look at how he's contributing to a winning team.
Yeah. We would try to. Yeah, you wouldn't really believe it when you were saying it.
I am dreading a little bit the rookie versus sophomore arguments will take place in March.
Of course.
But we'll get to see, Donovan Mitchell wearing a hoodie pictures again. That'll be exciting.
Yep.
And I did say that he's leading all the rookies in all those big categories. He's also leading all the NBA players in blocks per game, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
3.3 blocks per game.
I think his block percentage right now is 9.8, which means he blocks a shot one out of every 10 possessions.
That's good.
That's
math.
Pretty crazy.
That's pretty wild. Mm-hmm. All right. I will give my final winner of the weekend. Lots to pick from still. And I know you're letting us know who we missed in the stream team or in the comments or tweet at us at NoDunkSync. But I'm going the Dallas Mavericks for a winner of the weekend. Two home wins for the Mavs this weekend. Kyrie scored 24 with Luka out in the first game. They finished their sweep of the Blazers. Dominant victory, 139-103. They were missing the Mavericks like six other guys in this game too. Like, there was no Derek Lively II. There was no Grant Williams. Like I said, no Luka. And they still took care of business. Everybody contributing, led by Kyrie. I don't think he played in the fourth quarter because it was a wrap early. And then on Sunday, Luka came back. And Kyrie continued to play great. He shot 14 of 27, 6 of 8 from deep, and two of those threes were huge. He hit a game-tying one with about 3 minutes to go, and then he, after a couple sort of possessions, he sort of coughed the ball up, actually, and it went to Gobert, and Kyrie said, give me that back, and stole it right back from him. The shot clock reset. He made his way to the corner. The ball found its way to him, and he splashed that one, too, to give them a little bit more room there, and so they went on to win. Luka had 34 points. That's what he does, 12 of 26 shooting. But these two here, Kyrie missed a chunk of time. Mavericks kept their head above water, mainly because of Luka, and obviously in the MVP conversation at the table. But now you got both these guys back. This team has surprised me where they are sort of in the rankings and how they've played with a lot of, with their star player and Kyrie missing a good chunk of time. So they're in the middle of a 7-game homestand right now. Their longest of the season. They have the Grizzlies, who are hot, like you said, up next. They have the Knicks, who are very hot, haven't lost with OG. And then they play two against the Pelicans, who are also playing great basketball. So tough schedule here to finish out this 7-game homestand, like I said. But they get a couple of those, and they're feeling good.
And they're playing inspired ball. Just every single possession against the Minnesota Timberwolves, their D was stepping up. Even though, no Dante Exum and no Lively, who are, I think, the key pieces in that starting lineup to play defense.
Yeah, defensively,
Because You know, you got to go Luka and Kyrie up front, and they have been helping out. And I've been surprised. I thought they needed to go get a big here before the trade deadline. But if you check out the articles at theathletic.com, theathletic.com/nodunks, to get you a great subscription, you see how great this Mavs defense is actually with those two guys I mentioned. So I was surprised to see how they've become an energy bunch, just helping out on that end so much. And Kyrie, we are watching the Kyrie that we fell in love with as far as just watching him do his thing. Yeah, he's spectacular. It may not be good enough to make an All-NBA team because he's missed 16 games, and the math says as soon as you miss 18 games, you don't make All-NBA. That's the new rule. That's tough. But he's just a magician out there.
Well, here's a question. Is Kyrie Irving considered a Mavericks employee? Because he might make up some more money. Because another reason to give Dallas a winner of the weekend is we learned that Mark Cuban alerted Mavs employees, whether that includes the players or not, we're not sure. I don't think so. On Friday, that Mavs employees are collectively going to receive approximately $35 million in bonuses as a result of him selling his majority stake in the franchise. So that's not bad. So there you go. Mavericks employees getting some bonus money from Cubes, making all his money on the sell. I think the new owners are chipping in as well. The casino moguls there. Just another reason to give Dallas a winner of the weekend.
I would rather there be the Mavericks equipment manager than the Bucks equipment manager.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We will get to that. All right, those are our winners. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll look at the losers of the NBA weekend.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, still here in the factory. Hit the like button, subscribe. Before we get to the NBA weekend losers, I think most people agree just a general weekend loser was Golden Globes host Joe Coy, who had a rough... rough go of hosting the Globes. His monologue was not hitting. He started throwing his writers under the bus. I think he had a dry mouth. He kept looking for saliva after every line. And I was starting to feel for him. I've been there, man. Not sure Joe Coy will be back to host the Globes. But we're an NBA podcast, so let's get to the NBA weekend losers. TK, who do you have on your list?
What about Connor? Connor stuck in the pot. He was a loser, but now he's a winner because he's out.
Yeah, yeah. Connor stuck in the pot, was a loser, now is a winner because he has gone viral.
Guy in the Bass Pro Shops.
He's a loser.
Total loser. Sorry. That one's a loser. Oh, boy. That was a... I didn't know you were allowed to see that on the internet.
That's a great rank who had the worst weekend. The Bass Pro Shops guy swimming in the aquarium, nude.
Connor in the pot
or the host of the Globes, Joe Coy. We should get the poll up on
All right, we need a fourth option for our poll. So perhaps our first NBA weekend loser, the Golden State Warriors.
Sure, sure.
They went 500 over the weekend, but they still get a loser. They squeaked by Detroit on Friday and then completely no-showed the first half against the Toronto Raptors on Sunday. Raptors scored 36 in the first quarter, 40 in the second quarter. Toronto is basically just mismatch hunting. They're like, oh, you got a tiny guy? We're going to throw it to Scottie Barnes or Pascal Siakam right at the rim for a layup. Skeets wanted to tweet the thumb. He wanted to say this man. Game was over at halftime, but he couldn't do it.
I was smart not to.
You were smart not to.
It got sort of close.
It got close because Klay Thompson got hot in the third quarter, scored 11 points, went 3-for-3 from the three-point line, and then Andrew Wiggins checked in, and it was the Raptors game all over again. Tough night for Wiggins. He finished a minus 29 in the loss to Toronto, had 3 points on 1-of-6 field goal shooting, had 2 rebounds. He played 3 stints, basically, in this game. First 5.5 minutes in the first quarter, minus 12. Played 4 minutes in the second quarter, minus 3. Who cares? That's one shot. And then he played 7 minutes in the, across the third quarter and fourth quarter, minus 14. To make matters worse, as soon as Wiggins subbed out, the start of garbage time, Golden State then went on a 17-7 run. Right. I saw Anthony Slater said over at The Athletic today that in Wiggins' 831 minutes this season, he's a minus 51. In every other minute that Andrew Wiggins has not played, Golden State is a plus 157. That's bad. And now Chris Paul is also hurt. He's out 4 to 6 weeks due to another hand injury. The Warriors tried starting Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins together against the Raptors. It didn't work. Silver lining maybe is Draymond has been reinstated after 12-game suspension. He would have been eligible to play against the Raptors, but apparently he needs a week to ramp up his conditioning. Fair enough. They're going to need him instructing people where to be defensively because Wiggins and Kuminga need a guy telling them where to be. And I don't know. I guess maybe if you're looking at the team, the fact that Chris Paul goes out and Draymond comes in means they're getting a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. They're getting a little bit more defensive, which is something they need because this team right now is a half game up on the Utah Jazz for 11th in the Western Conference. It has been a very bad month for the Warriors. It was a bad weekend, and Steph Curry, again, had a no three-point game, 0-for-9.
Yeah, didn't seem like Steph was into this game. He just wasn't feeling it, and partly was because of the defense rotations. They went with this new starting lineup, starting Andrew Wiggins for the first time in weeks alongside Jonathan Kuminga, who everyone has been talking about is, oh, that's the guy, we can do this together. But when they put them on the floor, the numbers are just bad. So they started those two guys with Trayce Jackson-Davis. It was hilarious. Literally watching their defensive effort in that first half, they literally just didn't know where to be and didn't know where to defend. As soon as those guys went to the bench, it was Sarge, Pujemski, Kevon Looney. The numbers went back the other way. They looked good. So those three started over Kuminga, Wiggins, and Trayce Jackson-Davis in the second half. Yeah. They said, Wiggins, all right, you haven't started for a few weeks. But it's not working. You're off. Even Kuminga went back to the bench. They looked better in times with those the aged guys, the old guys. That's what they're going to do with Draymond Green. They're going to put him out there, and they're probably going to look better. I don't know why he hasn't been working out. I know he's what he's been doing. You're going through the counseling. Joe Dumars said this weekend, I like this quote about Draymond Green from Joe Dumars. During the period of his suspension, Green completed steps that demonstrated his commitment to conforming his conduct to standards expected of NBA players, said the former star of the Detroit Bad Boys. He knows what's up. You know, being in Michigan, he wanted to play rough. He's got to stop playing rough. But this team, I wonder how it comes together. It's just interesting. Like, if he gets back on the floor, they know where to be. Yeah. They're going to be better defensively. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, yeah, this up and down, it's such a wild weekend because we got the story on The Athletic. Kuminga has lost his faith in Steve Kerr. Then he meets with Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. I love it here.
That's a little faith quote. Restored.
Yeah. Then Chris Paul breaks his hand. Well, Draymond Green's coming back. The Warriors were 7-5 in those 12 games he missed. So maybe things will be back. And then they start Wiggins again. I think Andrew Wiggins has the worst contract in the NBA. I love the dude. Wow. Yeah, he's got to come back. But he just signed for 4 years, 120. It looked like a deal. But he literally can't be on the floor. There's something going on there with Andrew Wiggins. That's
what everybody thinks, for sure. So, his father,
So the crazy that will he come back? They're waiting for that. Moses Moody went back in the rotation, which looked good. I think they have to get the old guys, and you got to get Draymond Green telling Jonathan Kuminga where to go, and then I think they will be fine.
Another way to look at this game in watching the Raptors sort of handle them there for a majority of the game is the Warriors reading their body language. I was taking away a team that is being affected by trade rumors or maybe knows something that we don't know in terms of who's potentially on the outs and what things they're doing. Because that starts to happen around this time, right? As we get closer and closer to trade deadlines, it affects some teams. You can see it in terms of their effort, especially. Mm-hmm. Guys are mentally checked out either because so-and-so is getting moved or they might be getting moved. And again, I got no intel. What am I, Shams? I don't know. But that's what I was taking away from this. I was like, ooh, this is bad. they're carrying themselves like they know something about to happen. So we'll see.
Maybe they saw that picture of Masai and Mike Dunleavy Jr. talking pregame.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Man.
Yeah. Maybe Steph doesn't want this team going forward. Maybe he wants some sort of change. Like Steph's body language was bad.
Yeah.
And maybe because he wanted the vets out there. Because as I said, when Sarich and Looney were out there, Looney was offensive, boarding all over the place. They looked like they knew where they were going. But it was just an odd to see a Curry doesn't make a three night. Curry single digits scoring night. That's just weird.
Yeah.
That was strange to not pass him the ball where he should be passed the ball.
And Trey said it, like when they started to make a comeback, a lot of it was, oh shit, Klay Thompson's back. He's on. He's hot.
Yep.
Wouldn't you ride that hot hand? I mean, this is like Kerr's like sort of downfall. He's like so rigid and like, oh, gotta take him off now. It's like, do you? Do you really have to? Like, he's got it going. You were down huge. The guys you started, most of them were not giving you a great effort. And, like, that's a classic Kerr thing. I know it sometimes works out, sometimes doesn't. But he's usually playing the long game when they had elite talent. But now they're, like, you know, they're sub-500. They're not even close to, like, one of the best teams right now in the Western Conference. So I know Warriors fans were pissed about that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, he's actually scoring here. Like, anyway.
I think they should just get Raptors head coach Darko Rajakovic to coach for the next couple of months. Darko Rajakovic is a motivational speaker. It's working right now. Did you see what he said to our man, to Emmanuel Quickley? He said, this was what Quickley said after a game last week. He said, Darko pulled me aside while the Memphis game was going on and said, "You're not having fun. Have fun." I've never really had a coach do that.
Yeah, that's Darko's whole thing.
Boom.
Yeah, we did.
He turned around. He had a bad first run in that game. Turned it around. He told Malachi Flynn earlier this season, "You don't look so good when you're not happy. Smile and you look great." This guy is a motivational speaker. I think that's what the Warriors need. They need somebody talking to people. And maybe it'll help with Draymond Green because he went through the counselor multiple times and he wasn't with the team except, like, no one knew where he was except when he was at LeBron's party, which was strange. Just be around the team.
The 39-year-old birthday party.
Yeah.
The one with Adele. It's always funny seeing Adele in photos with LeBron at the same party.
Yeah, it's weird when you mention it. Yeah.
So maybe a small winner of the weekend to Darko, head coach of the Raptors,
yep.
Because on Friday night they lost. And you would say, well, why would they be a winner for losing? Well, he had bet the team, hey, you win three games in a row, I'm buying you dinner. They were at two wins in a row. If they had beaten the Kings on Friday night, he was having to pony up the bill. And instead they lost. But they bounced right back against the Warriors. They now play the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Jazz as they're on this very long road trip. The Raps are here.
And Otto Porter Jr. finally got his ring.
He finally got his ring!
2 years later. Yeah. They should have at least mailed him like the real one and gave him a replica or something.
That is crazy.
Just hang on to me. I'll get it when I see you next.
I'll see you soon. All right, Tass, what about you? Who do you have for a weekend loser?
Well, I'm going to talk about Cade Cunningham a little bit because he got injured. The Pistons are 3-33. And it seems like it couldn't get worse, but Cade Cunningham getting hurt makes it far worse. He got hurt against the Nuggets, left with a left knee strain. And the reason why they have been decent recently is because Cade Cunningham has been good. Since November 15th, 23.6 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, and a 57.2 true shooting percentage. So he can pass. He can score. And he's literally been running the offense, a 29.2% usage rate. And the turnovers have come down, only 3.2. They need his offense desperately because their defense has just been bad over the last six games, as our man James Edwards pointed out, last in the NBA the last six games. So they have been making runs, and it's all through Cade to me. And Isaiah Stewart has been out as well, so I think that hurts the defense. But just a note, because Cade has turned it around offensively. They changed their defense with sending Amen Thompson to the bench there. And that hurts. They just don't know who they are. Hopefully, Cade Cunningham comes back. Because otherwise, Otherwise, the offense just won't be good because their defense is bad. They need their offense to be good. And Cade has been balling, for a month and a half, really.
Yeah. Well, you thought it was cool that the Spurs were 5-30. Just a cool record. 3-33. Even cooler.
Cooler?
For the Pistons. Yeah, for sure.
They were 2-22.
I know. Were they 1-11?
No, they were 2-1.
Oh, damn it.
You're just like all
the 4-44, though. Yeah. I believe.
Yeah, probably it's in play.
They'll be cool.
They'll be happy with 4-44. Yeah. That means I got one win in the
you
next.
You just time. Like the digits.
Yeah, I just think it's great. Nice. I it's funny because I think I said it on playback to Trey. I hope they get to 3-33 because that will look cool. And they
You're
did
probably
it.
Right.
Way to get Trey. But Cade, that's unfortunate. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. But tough not to have him as a loser there, at least the Pistons.
I called the Sar Thompson Amen Thompson, by the way.
Oh, I mean, boy. That's probably the first time, though.
What's that?
That you've ever mixed him up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've been watching. Amen's been getting some Rockets love. He's been looking good.
I got a couple losers of the weekend. Usually I'm always struggling to find one, but I got a few for you here. Some of them are minor, though. Friday Night Hoops. Big loser of the NBA weekend. What do I mean by that? We had a lot of games on, first off. But of the 28 of the 30 teams that saw action, we had 14 games there on Friday night. 8 teams led by 25 or more points. The most for a single night in the league since way back in 97-98. Of those 8 teams, 7 led by 30 or more. Of those 7 teams, 4 of them grew to leads of 35 points or more. The point is, Friday night was blowout central. Now, luckily, Sunday, we had a lot of close games, some really entertaining finishes. But I saw here from ESPN Stats and Info, shout out to them, Friday marked the 182nd day in NBA history where we had 13 or more games played in the NBA. Quite a lot, more than I would have expected. Teams won those games this last Friday by an average of 19 points per game, which was the largest margin of victory on any of those days. So we just had a lot of blowouts. So that was just unfortunate if you were in on Friday night watching some hoops, hoping for some close games. So that's just a minor one. This next one, the Sacramento Kings. My sweet, sweet Kings, they always find a way to disappoint me. They lost on Sunday to the Pelicans again, 133-100. Like the Pacers own the Bucks in the East, the Pelicans own the Kings in the West. They have beat them all 4 games. They do have a 5th game. One of those weird little quirks again. They have outscored Sacramento by 84 combined points this season. Yeah, they just own them. And here's the kicker. About 18,000 fans in Sacramento on Sunday. It was Kids and Family Day. They showed up to cheer on the home team. And the Kings players said, fuck them kids, man. Holy crap. An embarrassing showing. De'Aaron Fox, the team's leading scorer, 3 points. 1-10 from the field. De'Aaron Fox is on a very bad run right now. Mm-hmm. He's scoring under 20 points per game over his last 5. He's shooting 37% from the field, even worse from deep. Not a good run for my guy Star Fox right now. But the Kings were smashed on the boards. 29-9 in the first half. I thought that was a typo. And 51-25. For the game. And the Pelicans, man, they just feel great playing Sacramento. They even talked about it. It was like just a great matchup, Willie Green said. We like it.
Yep.
CJ McCollum scored 30. He hit 7 threes. I don't know if you guys saw this after the game, the Pelicans broadcast. They were asking CJ McCollum, like, why do you enjoy playing in Sacramento so much? You know, they were trying to look for, like, is it just like the sight lines, the rims, whatever. CJ's answer was great. He goes, yeah, Sacramento was supposed to draft me. They had me come back for a second workout. They actually told me they were going to take me at 7, and they didn't. So, and then he, like, chuckled, like, I like playing against them. A little revenge there in the back of CJ's mind, and he had a great game. And like I said, the Pelicans just play well against this team. So the Kings need to avoid the Pelicans in any sort of postseason matchup.
What I just looked up who the Kings drafted instead of CJ McCollum.
What year? 2000?
This was in the 2013 draft.
13.
Yeah.
Seventh.
You saw him. You saw this guy. You
saw
him
for sure.
In a dunk contest.
Ooh, not jumping out at me.
Hold on.
You saw him at the thrift store.
Saw him at the thrift store. Is that a pun?
It's Ben McLemore.
Oh. Nice.
Thrift shop? Is that what that guy's song was called?
Yeah,
McLemore?
Yeah.
Thrift shop or store? I don't know. But Ben McLemore is out of the league.
Yeah.
McLemore is out of the rap industry.
He's still doing
stuff. And CJ McCollum is still hooping, so I guess the Kings probably should have drafted him. But if you're looking for a silver lining, Skeets, Kevin Huerter went for 17 points on 6 of 10 shooting. I think it's time for him to go back to the starting lineup for Duarte, because Duarte's not doing much. So that would be
interesting. Or it helps his trade value, I guess, is the other way to look at it.
That would be another way to help his trade value. You don't want to trade a guy off the bench when he was a starter last year.
That's true. So Kings, loser of the weekend. And one more here, because we did allude to it. The Bucks have had a rough week or so, right? They got smacked by Indiana twice. They just beat the Spurs in that game that we watched on playback that had a million highlights. It was entertaining, but just beating the Spurs is not great. And then after a 112-108 loss on Saturday night in Houston, Giannis decided to call out everybody on the team. I mean, everybody. He had like a 7.5-minute rant about what's wrong with his squad. But here's the money quote, and our guy Jerome put together a graphic. This is Giannis after that loss on Saturday night. Quote, "We have to be better. We have to play better. We have to defend better. We have to trust one another better. We have to be coached better. Every single thing, everybody has to be better. Everybody. It starts from the equipment manager. He has to wash our clothes better." End quote. He had a lot more to say, but man, the poor equipment manager of the Milwaukee Bucks catching a stray. Giannis is calling out how clean the clothes are.
Makes you want to go back and watch the old games, right? See if you see a stain.
Yeah. Maybe a little stench maybe that's affecting Giannis and the team. What is that? It's gross. But yeah, he was very upset.
He's the MVP. Because that speech went on and on and on.
Oh, it was so long.
He talked for a while.
He did. And he started talking about his team's defense. He's mainly
upset.
He's
really pissed with the
defense. Mainly upset about the effort, and he wants every player to think about it. At all times, he basically said, you know, you go on your all-star weekend trip, you're sitting on a beach, you think about it. You go into your bedroom at night, you might get a little freaky, you think about it. You think about defense. This guy's quotes about getting freaky, and they're endless now. He doesn't stop.
He doesn't stop. He's a horny mother.
Yeah, they named him the Greek freak, and he ran with it, man.
Yeah. That's his thing,
he's like,
man.
Fine, you're calling me the freak? Just watch. But I actually love this from Giannis. I think this is pretty good leadership. He calls out literally everybody, but everybody knows who he's really talking about. Lillard, Beasley, and the coaching.
Yep.
But he didn't say him by name, and he definitely put himself at the center of it, too, because if you look at the article from Eric Name on The Athletic, you'll see Giannis dying on screens just like Dame Lillard dies on screens, right? And he's completely right. The Bucks have been pretty good, but they definitely haven't been great. And you got to be great to win a championship, and Giannis isn't there to try and make it to the playoffs. He's trying to get back to the finals, win another championship. So he's saying, we got 4 months to figure out what's wrong, but we got to figure out what's wrong. And it starts with me, and it starts with Bill, who can't wash these
Trevor,
clothes.
His name's Trevor. I looked it up. Poor Trevor, man.
Trevor, taking some heat.
But, and he went on to say, like, and it is right. He's like, look, offense comes and goes in this league. You're going to have nights where we're on fire. Like he just had, like, a 64-point game, didn't he? Not that long ago. And he had a 48-point game and all that. But and they'll catch fire from three. But he's like, that's offense. To win a championship, we have to play defense consistently, and you can't pretend to turn it on and off. You can't, and he knows it, and that's why he really went on this huge rant. Our guy Jerome, by the way, with that quote, he said you had a few logos to that that quote that Giannis had there, and you slap it on a billboard, and it's perfect. And so this is a great mock-up. Everybody on YouTube seeing this, so podcast listeners, jump over. But it's the quote that I just read to you. Even about the washing the clothes part, you got to do it better. Throw a Nike ad on there, a little Giannis logo, and that'll inspire me. I got to wash my clothes better, damn it.
I would love to see a training montage from Trevor before the Bucks play the Jazz tonight.
Just like really.
Like going in.
Yeah.
Just like pumping with different Tide bottles, chomping on pods.
Oh, don't do that.
Hey. What, PEDs?
Anything to get it done.
Those PEDs?
Yeah. Those are PEDs in the washing game. You eating Tide Pods? Yeah, I think so.
Right. That'd be great at the Subway. That's inspirational stuff.
That looked
right
cool.
There.
Good job there, Jerome.
I also brought up this to Jerome that we should have a new Golden Globes worthy type segment here where we just do table reads of every time Giannis Antetokounmpo mentioned getting freaky. It's good. You know, I once, when I put my kids to bed, you never know what can happen after.
He does say it a lot. Yeah. At least a supercut of all the times Giannis is dropping a horny reference in a press conference.
I mean, cutting him would just be good. Because he does feel weird, I think. He did one in front of... on an Instagram Live, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the family was there, so he feels weird about that one, I'm sure. But he keeps doing it. And the table reads would just be good. So, okay. So we're doing
it. Great one. Idea.
We're getting a Golden Globe.
Well, they added new categories this year, so maybe like they'll what? Add this. They added...
Greeky Freaky?
Well, they added two. One made a lot of sense. It was basically like stand-ups, like comedian stand-ups. You know, there's so many on Netflix, so they gave an award to the best one. I think Ricky Gervais won, which...
TikTok won
in 2024?
Yeah.
Oh.
Have you watched that one, too? Ugh, it's not very good. Anyway, he won. But then the other category, this is a funny category, it's literally like... box office success.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which I thought we had the way to figure out who had the best, you know, most popular movie of the year, but they want to, I think the idea, get more casual fans watching this, like it will work. You know, hey,
casual movie fans?
You know what I mean? It's like
casual box office fans?
It's like, oh, I saw Barbie, or I saw this Mission Impossible was one of the nominees. Oh, you know, it's like all the major.
Did Mission Impossible win?
No, I think Barbie won.
Okay. Yes, fair enough. Barbie.
Fair enough. Yeah. It is a toy.
Yes.
Most popular movie.
That's basically what the category was. It was like they call it something box office.
Right.
But it is the box office revenue is leading the way there.
It's literally the
it's literally box office.
The movie that made the most money wins.
So they don't need to vote on this category then. Oh.
I don't think so.
Well, that's really funny. Then why even have nominees?
I know.
Unless like there's like two movies like somebody has to go see the movie on the final day before the Golden Globes to push it above the other one.
I mean, but that's the name of the, it's the most popular movie. Like,
no, I know, I'm agreeing.
I thought they were tapping
you.
Into social media just like they were with the stand-ups. They're tapping into likes, hits,
yeah,
blah, blah, all that
yeah,
stuff. Just
okay.
And that, that may be pushing into.
Oh, that's a good point.
Let's get the casuals in.
And Mission Impossible was nominated?
Yeah,
I didn't watch
it was.
The Golden
Globes.
I'm didn't
pretty
even,
sure it was.
That's considered a bomb. Like that.
The bomb.
I was poorly timed by Tom and Co.
It
with
was.
Barbenheimer.
He begged Nolan, please. We need another week with the IMAX. Too bad for Tom.
But I do want to see it. Did anybody see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was so good.
I definitely want to watch it.
It's not as good as the last one. I will say that.
Okay.
But
I agree.
It's Mission Impossible. It's
okay.
Great.
All right, let's take one more break, and when we come back, I got a fun tweet of the night for the guys with some trivia included.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
God damn it.
Tweet of the Night?
Come on. There we go.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night comes from one of my favorite Twitter follows, and that is at 90s NBA, and a lot of it is just photos, screen grabs of 90s footage from the NBA. Very nostalgic, and I like this pick, so I made it Tweet of the Night here, of the 1998 Western Conference Reserves. It's as simple as that. You got Vin Baker, you got Tim Duncan, Eddie Jones, Jason Kidd, Mitch Richmond, David Robinson. And the real reason why I picked this, my guy, Nick Van Exel, Nick the Quick, his only All-Star appearance. We had four Lakers in this All-Star game because we had Shaq and Kobe starting for the West, along with Gary Payton, Kevin Garnett, Karl Malone. In the East, guys, the starters were Michael Jordan, who won MVP. This was in Madison Square Garden in 98. We had Penny, Grant Hill, Sean Kemp. Yeah, Sean Kemp starting the All-Star game for the East Cavaliers. Weird, right? And Dikembe Mutombo. But the trivia question, I wanted to see if you guys could name the Eastern Conference reserves for the 98 All-Star game. I can give you some hints, but take a stab at the 98 reserves here.
Pip dog?
No.
Pippin?
No, no Pip. No Pip. We got two.
He started, right? Didn't you say?
No, he didn't.
He didn't start.
He didn't.
Oh, I guess he had back injury. Yeah, I think was that year. Yeah. 97. Ewing?
No. No, it's some fun names.
Reggie Miller.
There you go. There's another Pacers, too, player.
Smits.
There you go. Reggie Miller and Rick Smits.
Smits.
Smits is a good name.
We got a guy that once won MVP of an All-Star game.
Not Glenn Rice.
Yes, Glenn Rice of the Hornets made it this year. We got a guy that loved to score. He was in love with points.
I mean, it's not Kevin Love, but the way you're saying it.
No. He was the Celtics, though.
He was a Celtic player who loved scoring points.
Yeah,
loved scoring points.
Yeah, he's got a famous quote about scoring.
I make love to pressure. Steven Jackson.
No.
97, 98. Too early for Antoine Walker?
No, Antoine Walker. Yeah, okay, there are no fours. That's why he shoots so many threes. Couple other guys left. One, I'll give you a guard, point guard, obviously in the East.
Terrell Brandon.
No, it's a good guess. Hall of Famer now, this gentleman.
Tim Hardaway.
There you go. Nice. Tim Hardaway of the Heat. Mm-hmm. You got two guys left.
Mourning? Alonzo Mourning?
No, good guess. One is was a former colleague of yours.
Mine specifically.
Well, both of you.
Who would have been around? Not Dennis Scott. He never made an All-Star game.
Nope, but you're close. I mean, you're close because you're guessing the right employment place.
Who else was an All-Star from the Orlando Magic? Daryl Armstrong?
No, not the Magic. Don't worry about the Magic.
Yeah, I started thinking Nick Anderson because you said you're close. But you're just close in terms
of
colleagues.
You're close of, like, you're by him.
Channing Frye played for the Magic? No.
You were by him.
Well, yeah. You worked with him, is the point.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I got that part.
I can't give you much more. You'll get it right away.
I mean, well, Kevin McHale was not there.
Nope.
No, it was way too
late. No, way too late. This guy was had a move named after him.
Smitty. Smitty.
Steve Smith with the Hawks made it. And then I thought...
Jamal Mashburn.
Now, this is a name we don't want to talk about much anymore because of what happened to this guy off the floor.
Alvin Robertson.
But no. Good guess. But pretty surprising. I'd forgotten he was an All-Star. Let me put it that way. Big man for your wife's favorite team.
The Nets.
Jason Williams.
Jason Williams, not the white chocolate one. Yes, the one with the Y, the big man.
What a weird All-Star.
Isn't that a weird All-Star list?
Yep.
Like, the starters for the East, MJ, Penny, Grant, Kemp is weird, Dikembe, okay. Reggie, Rick Smits, Jason Williams of the Nets, Tim Hardaway, Glenn Rice, Steve Smith, and Antoine Walker. That is a funny, funny list. Thanks for playing.
98, good year.
That's a tough one. Good year. All right, guys, let's call it there. That's another classic. Hopefully, you tell us. Leave us a 5-star rating or review. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. We're back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, so join us live. Got the college football championship game on tonight. I know you are a Wolverine fan. Go Blue.
Big time, go Blue.
You like their chances here to take care of business tonight, playing Washington?
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. Yeah, right.
More like Penis Jr.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm he's really say good that though,
all
isn't he?
Night. Yeah, I think he's awesome.
He might be
he
a problem.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But not tonight.
Okay.
Not against Brandon Graham and Ty Law. Those are just two defenders I know from Michigan's days past.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't really know anybody that plays on the team. There's a McCarthy. There's a Coram.
So give me a final score. Give me a final score.
31-17.
Whoa.
Wolverines.
Whoa. Wow. What do you got? You got Washington or Michigan?
I don't know. I guess the penis will be flaccid, I guess. I don't know who's playing.
Will we be able to see them?
I'm so upset that the Bulldogs aren't there.
The Dogs.
Why didn't they get there? Rough.
It is rough.
All right. Well, hopefully penis plays better than the best shot pro man's penis. I'll take... I hate to do it, but I'll give you Washington by 3. Why? No one knows. Anyway, enjoy that game. Enjoy the NBA games on. We'll be back at 10. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Remember, go Washington. Go Commanders. That's what they're called. Right? No. This is a college game. I get it. No. Go Bills this weekend. They're going to take care of the Steelers. No problem.
Wild card weekend coming up. Brace the day, people.